Welcome back to the W.M. Briggs podcast. It's been quite a while since we've done one of these. I'll explain why shortly. Meanwhile, the message I want to convey to you and which you should convey to your friends is that no matter who wins this November, we all lose, for we are doomed, most assuredly. Stick around. Well, it's been quite a while since we did one of these. First, I was on an e-holiday, and I recommend an e-holiday for everybody. I forbade myself the internet entirely, or nearly entirely, which I could do when I could, not avoiding my real job. No emails, no Twitter, no surfing, no nothing. That I could avoid, absolutely avoid with respect to my job. No television, no nothing. I haven't watched TV, network TV in quite some time anyway, and I don't have cable. And I recommend this e-holiday for everybody. In fact, I've decided to go on a permanent e-holiday. As it is now, I only allow myself the internet for an hour in the morning and an hour in the evening and no more. And this is conducive to sanity. It allows you to filter out the noise of which most information that we are presented with is. And there's no better way to do this than to just shut it off. You'll hear, you'll be able to read, you'll know what's going on by avoiding these things. And it's the best thing you could do. Cell phone, I don't have a cell phone. I have an old flip phone that is extremely limited in use. It doesn't even take pictures, or rather it does, but it can't store them because it doesn't have a memory card. And even that I kept off most of the time. I do not carry with me. I do not carry credit cards with me, do not carry anything. And my God, the freedom that is afforded by doing this is astonishing. That was the first reason. The second is I upgraded my ancient equipment. I upgraded the kernel of my Kubuntu system, and it was an old 32-bit system, and that busted. Most of the software that I was using to run this podcast has since been restored. It's obviously not the best sounding. I've had complaints. The equipment is, you know, minimal. I have a handheld cheesy microphone, the cheapest one I could find. It works. But if you think yourself of listening to the AM radio, as you do, as people used to do anyway, it sounds just fine. Now to the point of this broadcast, which is that no matter who wins, I believe we are doomed. I still predict, as I have from January, that Trump will win. The polls are one thing. The poll accuracy is another. If he does, we'll have to discuss how the behavior of the polls. And we'll have to discuss, most assuredly, we'll have to discuss the behavior of the state media. And we had a discussion on the blog a while back. I think that is the best term to describe those people who, in collusion with the government, create and dispense the information that is meant to shape the opinion of you and the rest of the public. And this includes the so-called conservative organs like Fox and the Wall Street Journal. State media is an apt description. Although many of these people are not paid necessarily by government directly, the number of people moving in and out of government or in and out of so-called non-governmental organizations, which of course means governmental organizations, is enormous. And so I think state media is the fairest way to put this. I think it was much fairer back in the old days, in the 40s, you remember during World War II, they were very honest and called themselves ministers of propaganda. And at least that told you their purpose. All that's gone. Well, we'll talk about that in due course. The collusion, of course, is very real between the state media and the government and the elite who run the society in either party, Democrat or Republican. Now, everybody knew this. It's no surprise. But it was given a new concrete form in the Project Veritas expose. Now, on that, I'm going to show you a little clip. Play a little clip here. This is an InfoWars chickie asking, there were about 200 or 300 people who streamed, I use that word advisedly, out of a Hillary event, whether or not they had seen the Project Veritas videos, and if so, what was their reaction? Now, this was after the first two videos came out, but before the third. And here is what people said. Now, you got to remember, these are people who are coming out of a Hillary event, and here they are.
Have you seen the Project Veritas videos that recently came out showing Democratic Party operatives talking about busing in violent protesters to Trump rallies and talking about committing massive voter fraud?
I have heard about this, and I heard parts of the video that's taken out of context, and I know it's out there, but it's yet to be substantiated.
I have not seen that, but obviously any election fraud would be wrong, but there's no evidence that I know of that's substantiated, so it doesn't concern me. I don't think it's reputable information.
I think people have concerns, but I think they're unfounded. I think the elections have happened for years and there's never been problems.
I have not seen those videos. I have no comment on their authenticity. I have nothing. I know nothing about what you're talking about.
You know, frankly, if there is voter fraud, then there should be hard proof, and we just haven't seen it.
Have you seen the recent Project Veritas videos that were just released showing Democratic Party operatives working through shell corporations talking about how they commit and conduct voter fraud? Do you think that might be where these concerns are coming from?
They're edited and they're not true. That's, you can't believe it.
Now, again, this was after the first two, but before the third, the Donald Duck video. No. I said duck, not dog. Anyway, it's plain from those videos what was happening, but it's just as plain. We needn't go over it. It's just obvious. But these people, and we can't blame these people. We shouldn't be too harsh on these people. They thought the Project Veritas videos were a lie or were otherwise fraudulent, or they had never even heard of them. And they were told to think that. This is what you have to understand. They were told to think that, just like they were told to think that the Planned Parenthood baby chop shop videos were faked and frauds. And it's just like they were told to ignore the WikiLeaks revelations, which anyway didn't matter. But if they did matter, they were fakes and frauds. They were told to think these things. And they trusted those doing the telling. They trust, this is trust they have in our authorities, in our authority figures, in the media, in the government, in the politicians. This trust is a good quality. But, of course, it has a very bad effect. Their refusal to believe in reality. So there's two problems here. The problem is these people, no people, right or left, in a country such as ours, have any business directly electing their leader. And of course, we all know there are small adjustments due to the Electoral College, and these are negligible. It's just a bad thing when we have the mass of people, which is ever expanding, which we'll get to later, the ever expanding electorate, trying to directly elect a leader. These type of things are bound to occur. Now, why do I say that we're still doomed? Well, it's easy enough. Whoever wins, Hillary or Trump, these people, the people who were deluded into thinking the Project Veritas videos were, you know, inconsequential, and the people who are lying to the people about the Project Veritas videos will still be with us regardless. These people aren't going anywhere. If Trump wins, you know, state media hacks will be somewhat mollified, and we'll duck and cover for, you know, a week, 2 weeks, and then we'll be back to normal. Some of these guys, you know, as is natural to their breed, are going to suck up to the new administration, seeking to do for the new power what they did for the old. But most are going to recognize Trump is nothing but a respite from the course of events. And they're going to recognize this, and they'll soon reorganize and form themselves around the idea to restore the old elite and to restore their own position in that power structure. There's not going to be some wave of honesty breaking out among flacks, nor there is going to be any kind of reduction in gullibility among the indigenous populace of these once United States. Unless perhaps Trump turns out to be some American Vladimir Putin, it's very soon going to be business as usual. Think about this. Trump is not just fighting if he wins. He will not be just fighting for us. He'll have to fight the bureaucracy. He'll have to fight the universities. He'll have to control the state media. He'll have to control the ephemeral industry, the entertainment industry, so-called. All of these forces will be aligned against him. And he's going to be just one man with a very small team trying to get a handle on this. It's not impossible, but it would be somewhat of a miracle if he did. On the other hand, if Hillary wins, we could look for some sort of reverse Anschluss. Now, here's the headline. Here's the headline. This is a very important headline. Editor of Austria's largest paper charged with hate speech over a migrant article that he wrote. He, in the article, called the majority of so-called migrants testosterone-driven Syrians. And a guy named Biro, he recounted multiple reports of migrants carrying out, in his words, extremely aggressive sexual assaults. Now, these were extremely aggressive sexual assaults. And Biro's problem is that he publicly admitted the extremely aggressive sexual assaults and blamed it on the actual perpetrators. This fact, this truth, became hate speech. And he's being prosecuted by this group called SOS Mitmensch. This is a so-called non-governmental organization that's going after people like Biro to hush them up. It's not hate speech. This is what we need to understand. It's not hate speech against so-called migrants in which Biro is being prosecuted, but for speech against the government. This is what his real crime is, speech against the government. It is now classed as hate speech. It is not only in Austria. It is in Germany. It is in other areas of enlightened Europe. And if Hillary wins, that sort of thing is going to come here. And when we get back, some more horror stories that we need to get through. Seen what happened in Austria, and there's many others on the blog. In the coming weeks, I'll have more. But here are a bunch of items, and I collected these over the course of a week, and without any effort on my part. These were just headlines on the biggest websites of the day or across Twitter. They took absolutely no effort on my part to compile, and you will hear in them commonalities. And it's that is what I want to get across. Not so much these individual horrors, because all of them may seem disparate and unconnected. Unless we can tie them all to a theory of doom, that's all they'll ever be, just individual stories. So with that in mind, that we need to find what's common, what's the common cause of these horrors. Let's look at some of these. Some of them are very small. Here's the headline. Funeral celebrants offer eulogies with a personal touch. Now, in this article, there's a bunch of people who don't want to have religious ceremonies anymore. And the quote is, many people are more spiritual and don't want religion introduced into the service. And so they offer these services to talk about the lives of the recently deceased. And they're very nice things they're saying about them. But the disappearance of rite, R-I-T-E, rite, is the thing that is interesting here. So let's pass on to the next thing. It's something that looks absolutely unrelated, but isn't. The headline is, Washington uses homosex as a weapon of regime change in Moldova. Now, the quote is, Hillary Clinton makes a cameo in the video, which should come as little surprise to anyone familiar with the general unsavoriness of the Clintonista family. This is not an American site. What is happening is our State Department is seeking to push the ideology of the West onto countries who are unwilling to adopt them and punishing them accordingly if they do not adopt these ideologies, which everybody knows and which we'll come to in future broadcasts. That Moldova is, right next to Ukraine, and we know what happened in Ukraine. We know what's happening there now against Russia and against the American State Department and our State Department's wanting to have everybody converted. And why they want to have everybody converted, it's not just about power. So here is the next seemingly unrelated headline. Why I fear America could enslave black people again. I said it slowly because I wanted you to hear the actual headline. This is from Time Magazine. Why I fear America could enslave black people again. Now, Trump is making this slogan of making America great again has triggered the writer to say, quote, to what specific period of American greatness are you wanting us to return? When black folk suffered segregation after slavery? Black folk, not black folks. After this tirade, the writer, he moved on to say, he thought blacks could become slaves again under Trump. He said it sadly and with a countenance that was dejected. And after he said that blacks could become slaves under Trump, he insisted, I'm not an angry black man. To the left, the slippery slope is the only argument. It's the only argument. It's the only one that ever plays. Any retrogression from their progression is a slippery slope back to slavery, a slippery slope back to everything that you can imagine that is bad and evil. And they believe it. And that is another point. Here's another headline. This one also from a foreign paper, England in this case. We can't prove sex with children does them harm, says labor-linked NCCL. Here's the quote. Evidence has emerged that the views of the pedophile information exchange influenced policymaking at the National Council for Civil Liberties when it was run by former Labor Health Secretary Patricia Hewitt. Boy, I'm getting my mouth around these words. Childhood sexual experiences willingly engaged in with an adult result in no identifiable damage. That's the claim. Pedophilia being normalized. Well, we've already seen that here in the States too with the incidents at Ceylon and other places. Here's another headline, also seemingly unrelated. Norwegians can now change genders legally with a mouse click. Quote, Norway, a wealthy, progressive nation of 5 million people, recently became the fifth country in the world to allow adults to legally change genders without a doctor's agreement or intervention. Argentina, Ireland, and Denmark have similar laws. But only Malta and Norway have extended the liberalized rules to children. The key word in this is progressive. It's lunacy, absolute, utter lunacy, to think that children, can pretend to be other than their sex. And adults are encouraging this. All this is true. All this is true. This is not the point of this article. The point of this article that I want to make is the tone. It's progressive. Technology is aiding and abetting this. We're losing the necessity for even having elites of any kind acknowledge the need to change so-called genders. This is the point here. The people can go onto a website, click whether today they feel like a man or today they feel like a woman, without a doctor's agreement or intervention on the part of any authority. This is the key, the real key behind this. Okay, something else. Here's the headline. This is also from England. Iraqi refugee who raped a 10-year-old boy at a swimming pool in a sexual emergency has his conviction overturned because the Austrian court didn't prove he realized, the rapist did not realize, the boy was saying no. Here's the quote. A mere 20-year-old migrant violently sexually assaulted a boy in a changing room pool in Austria, claiming it was a sexual emergency because he had not had sex for 4 months. He left his wife behind in his old country, becoming a refugee. But an appeal court in the country accepted the defense lawyer's claim that the lower court had not done enough to prove that the rapist knew the schoolboy was saying no and overturned the conviction. I mean, it's absurd, but what counts for this? What is important about this? That not the absurdity of this Muslim who raped a 10-year-old boy and it got away with it because he claimed he had a sexual emergency. That's not the absurdity. It's absurd, but that's not the real problem with this. Okay, I can go on and on. I'm going to skip a couple of these. I'll have them on the blog site because I want to get to these. Here's another one. This is a headline. This is from The Advocate. This is a magazine that people who have same-sex attraction follow. Peter Thiel shows us there's a difference between gay sex and gay. Now, this is a quote. I'm going to quote from this. Since the Paleolithic age, people have had sex with people of the same gender. But the notion that this made somebody homosexual or gay was a relatively recent phenomenon in human history. Beginning in the late 19th century, doctors, sexologists, and others began to argue that same-sex sex created the category of sexual orientation. And the article goes on, quoting again, by the logic of gay liberation, Thiel is an example of a man who has sex with other men, but not a gay man. And why? Well, quote, because he does not embrace the struggle of people to embrace their distinctive identity. And there it is. There's admission from The Advocate, and which was plain to anybody, that there is no such thing as a gay person, a homosexual person, beyond the identity that they adopt. Because, as the article quite rightly says, people since the Paleolithic age have been having sex with people of their own sex. And this only became prominent, really, in the past 100 years. It started in the late 19th century, it's true, but really didn't take hold until the early 20th century that we invented this category of a homosexual as a different kind of creature. There's more and more and more. I'm not going to get to all of them. I'll get a couple of more. This is another quote. This is from Denmark. Living here doesn't make you one of us, the Danish queen tells Muslims to adopt West's values. This is a quote from the article. She said, the queen, It's not a law of nature that one becomes Danish by living in Denmark. It doesn't necessarily happen. We thought that these things would take care of themselves, that if you walked through the streets of Copenhagen and drank the municipal water and rode the municipal bus, you'd soon become a Dane. It was so obvious to us, and therefore we thought it must be also obvious for those who settled and lived here. It wasn't. And it isn't. The Queen is going to catch hell for this because of the obvious thing that intimating that one cannot assimilate means that there is a bar to assimilation that may be beyond cultural. And that is an intolerable notion. A last one. This is the headline. Northwestern University scholar: Christian fundamentalism more dangerous than Islamic terrorism. Why? Quote, fundamentalist access to the United States armaments is the number one threat to state security. So there we have the very truth of it. Christians more dangerous than Islamic terrorists, even though Islamic terrorists have been the ones shooting up everything. What can you say? Now, these examples, as I say, can be multiplied with shocking ease. You don't have to listen to me. Go online, go to Drudge, go to Twitter, and follow anybody who's not a member of the state media or one of their followers or government apparatchiks, and you will discover these things flowing as a cataract from the alternative media. Now, that's not the point. The point is, what binds them together? And even that's a bad question. The real question we want to ask is, do these events have a common cause? And if they do, what is that cause? Now, there's a fellow at Zero Hedge, and he's betting on conspiracy or something like it. He has an article called Elimination of Reason. And he thinks that it's clear, it's no accident that people are getting dumber. He says the experiments in education haven't worked as well as intended. And he says it's clearly the result of a conscious effort to diminish the average person's ability to think. I don't think that this is quite right, although he's right in aspects. There are conspiracies. We met him with WikiLeaks. There's collusion among the elites and the leftwards' descent of the West. Our doom will not be the result of a mysterious cabal. Instead, it is happening right out into the open. And the majority desire it. The cause, if you like, is liberal democracy. And this is not an unknown thesis. It forms the subject matter of the book, The Demon in Democracy, by Rizard Legutko. It's newly translated into English, and that's the true point of this podcast. For over the next 5 broadcasts, we're going to go through this book chapter by chapter in an extended review, which proves this thesis and which demonstrates its consequences, and which will prove the prediction that we're all doomed no matter what happens. Stick around.